I am going to embark on a new series, as you heard Lisa say in the beginning. And it's a series called What and Why. And I wanted to do the series because I can remember when I was sitting in church services and I would watch and I would wonder, what are they doing and why are they doing that? What are some of the things that the church does that perhaps today folks will participate and they'll watch and they've maybe done it for a long time, but they might not be sure what exactly it is that we're doing together and why are we really doing that? And part of our faith is to know what we do and why we do it. And how is that grounded in Christ and the scriptures, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, right, and our God, not just in Christ. And so I thought, well, let's take a journey and let's do some of that. Let's grow in our faith, right? As we believe, we exist to make disciples of Christ, to love, grow, and serve. So let's focus on some of that growing part for the next few weeks as part of our journey together on Sundays. And so what do you think? Good, because that's what I got planned, and I thought we'd just run with it. So why not? Yeah, all right. As I start in today, let me tell you, today is World Communion Sunday. So there are Christians all over the world today that are celebrating communion during this hour and before and after, throughout the day when they gather, sharing their faith in Jesus Christ and the work that he's done and the promise that they believe belongs to them because of Jesus and the hope they have. So today we're going to share in communion as well. It works out wonderful that today, right, is the first Sunday of the month when we would normally share communion, but we're going to, so we're going to do that as well. So my question for us today, if you go to the next slide, is really this. So at least I hope that's what I put in the next slide. That's good. That's always nice when that works out, which is this. What is communion and why should we practice it? What is communion and why should we practice it? So let me say up front, So many of us come from probably different church backgrounds. I know that there are some that come from a Catholic church background, and there are some that come from a Presbyterian and a Methodist background and a Baptist or holiness kind of area, which tends to kind of be the tribe that I sort of have been in for a number of years. And so sort of depending on where you're at in that sort of spectrum, there's little nuanced different views on communion. So we're not going to get into all the little nuances, but we're going to say what is kind of the bare basic understanding that we're sort of all sharing together. And with that, we know that we could go to Europe, we could go to Africa, we could go to Central South America, we could go to wherever, and know that at a core, we're all sharing this faith. And if we share communion together. So let me start by saying, okay, well, then what is communion? What is communion? What is it? So I want you to keep this real simple. And here's... At its very core, what is communion? It is an act of thankful remembrance. And with water spilling as well as I knock my cup of water over. So when I say an act of thankful remembrance, here's what I'm getting at. So communion is this time where we gather, and you can see the communion table is set for later in the service today. And we will gather as one church, and we will give thanks to God as we remember what God has done for us all because he loves us. Because he loves us. Well, how do we know that that's really what we're doing when we share in communion together? Because I don't want you just to believe it because it comes off of my lips. I want us to say, well, can we go to the scriptures? Can we go to the history of our faith? And can we verify that that is what he's talking about today? And I think that we can. And so that's kind of my challenge today is to help us see that, right? All right. So when we think of communion, we want to think of it being directly connected to the Passover. Who's heard of the Jewish Passover before? Does that sound familiar to anybody? To you, maybe at home today, you know, raising your hand there? Absolutely. So the communion that we celebrate is connected to the Jewish Passover. And in Jewish culture, the Passover was an annual celebration that was really part of a Thanksgiving offering. That they would gather together, and usually, probably when we think of offering, you may think of what? Largely like a burnt offering, right? So they sacrifice, right? And it burn, the smoke coming out of that. But in this one is actually what we call a Thanksgiving offering. And so instead of burning an animal, the pure animal, that they would gather and they would share a meal together. So they'd offer that time together and consume that food, which they believe had been provided to them by the Lord because he is a good God. He's their creator. And so it's a time to say, thank you, God, for all the goodness that you have created and given to us. And it is right that we should give you thanks and praise, as the scriptures tell us. They're also, at that same time, as they would give thanks to God, they would also give thanks to him for being their deliverer from slavery into freedom. So if you remember the Exodus story, delivering them from being in slavery bondage in Egypt through the promised land, through the wilderness and to the promised land. And so it was because of this, so it's a Passover then that when Jesus instituted communion, which is where we find ourselves today. And communion is looking back to the goodness of what God has already done for his people and then saying thanks. I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians. Now you've heard, if you've been with us before when we've shared communion, you've heard me read this passage before. So I want you to listen to it again. And Paul recounts the sharing of the Passover that Jesus says, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, I'm going to reference this later. So keep this passage in the back of your head, right? Hold on to that in your head. So the very first thing when Jesus is with them, he gives thanks. Well, that makes sense because Passover is really a time of giving thanks. So it's proper that he would do that. Kind of reminds, as I was thinking about this, it kind of reminds me of Thanksgiving. Have you ever had a time where you're with family or friends for Thanksgiving and if you pray before you eat, or you have a time where you share that you might say, what are you thankful for? Have you ever done something like that? Or you may say in the prayers, say, God, we are thankful. Thank you for da da da. Thank you for, right? All the blessings that we have. Thank you so very much. So that time of Thanksgiving. And I thought, that's probably one of the closest connections that I could make. And then real quickly, my head went to football. And having lived in Michigan for a long time, I thought of the Detroit Lions. And I'm going, well, it's not being thankful for them because they tend to lose every single thing. I don't get that. It's always heartbreaking. Just kidding. Yes and no on that. And so since gratitude was really the heart of Passover, when we think of communion, we go, what is communion? We need to take that thankful spirit, gratitude, and we need to place it into communion because that's its root. You follow me? Okay. When we eat the bread, which we'll do, and we drink the juice, which we will do, we're first giving thanks to God for his goodness. A lot of us, I would imagine, because I have done this quite a bit. So one of the first things I may want to jump to is go, God, thank you that I'm saved. God, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me, right? Which is what that moment should be. It's almost an act of thankful remembrance for what you've done, because that's what it's meant to be. How many of you have something you're thankful for? Work with me for a second. Just show a hand if you're there, and then you put yes. I have something thankful for if you're online. Okay, so pretty much everybody raised their hand today. Now, here's the neat thing about being thankful about something. It always has a context to it, doesn't it? You're thankful for something or sometime or someone or some event, something that happened either previously or that you have in your life today, right? So I'm so thankful that God brought Leslie and I together years ago. But I'm also thankful, for example, right? So it's based in history, has a context to it. And I'm also thankful that she got up early on her birthday and went to cheer me on when I ran the half marathon yesterday, which she didn't have to do that, but she did. So thank you. My thankfulness has a context to it. I'm thankful for my church family, and it has a context to it. You have loved me and my family. You have embraced us. You have listened. You have walked alongside of us. You have prayed for us. You've been patient with me. I can't thank you enough for that one. Thankfulness always has a context. So now imagine that you're one of the disciples and you're sitting with Jesus at the Last Supper. So when you're sitting with them, and you're having Passover, that Passover has a context to it. You see, they were remembering, as I mentioned earlier, they're remembering how God had made a way for their deliverance from Pharaoh in Egypt and the slavery that they were experiencing. If you know the story from Exodus, that God was bringing the final plague upon Pharaoh and Egypt, and it was this angel of death, as typically is sort of called, who was going to bring death to the firstborn of every household. And it didn't matter if you were an Egyptian, you were a Hebrew, it didn't matter who you were, it was going to come to pass, for the Lord had declared that it would. And the Lord always honors his word. That's a whole sermon right there, isn't it? Amen. You can trust the word of the Lord. So God, knowing that's coming, instructs the Israelites to take a lamb, to kill it, take its blood, and do what with it? Does anybody remember? Sprinkle that over the doorpost. And with that being over the doorpost, then the angel of death would what? Would pass over that house, would protect that family. So God was saving the firstborn of every family. Okay, so we know some of this story. Now, in Exodus, in the Exodus story, that little chapter, if you will, was part of a bigger story, because God was leading them out of Egypt and leading them to where? To the Promised Land. So when they sit at the Passover, they recall how God had done, had protected them, but also how God had provided manna from heaven for them to be able to be sustained on their journey. But then as they also get into, they're making their journey through, he uses that part of their story with the lamb on the doorpost, and he takes it a step further, and with them he instructs the Israelites as part of their sort of, you might say, religious act of worship. For them, they needed to present a lamb, or a pure lamb, or some other pure animal, and they needed to, without getting to all that, but they needed to take that and offer that as an offering for their sin. So that was a guilt offering, and then that offering would be burnt, right? And the blood would be poured out. And it's reflecting back to what had happened in the Exodus and how God had protected them, and how the life of that animal and the blood poured out had covered over them. God uses something that they already know to help them to also know that, like Pharaoh, who had rebelled against God, they too had rebelled against God in their sinfulness. And they needed to seek forgiveness from God. And God was providing a way for that to happen. So when we partake in communion, we are, in a sense, retelling their story. This body broken, sacrificed, this blood poured out, shed for the forgiveness of sin, this covering over. It's more than just eating a piece of bread and drinking juice from a cup. It's this act of thankful remembrance, in part because their story is symbolic to our spiritual journey in Christ. I want to take you to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 14. The Apostle Paul, he writes this, and this is where he's kind of going, the point I'm trying to make here. It says, he rescued us from the control of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He set us free through the Son and forgave our sins. Let that soak in for a second. Just read that again on your own. Can you just do that for a second? Just reread that yourself, just quietly where you sit. Let that sink in for a moment. He rescued, he delivered, he saved us from the control, from that bondage control that we can't escape on our own. He transferred us. He brought us from one place into another place, into this kingdom of the Son that he loves. He set us free through the Son and forgave our sins. I don't think I could say it really any better than that. Do you see the connection back to the past? Thankfulness always has a context of remembering something so wonderful that we know stems back to the goodness of God. So what do we use in communion then that represents this belief? So what do we do? What are we doing? We're doing this, right? Well, we're taking this bread and we're taking this juice. And we're saying these two particular elements that we have in our hands, that these elements represent the body of Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. And it's taking this juice that represents the blood of Jesus Christ that poured out, that covers over, forgives our sins. And we have this spiritual food and drink in our hands as an act of thankful remembrance. And we, for this moment, realize that our story is not too much different than the story of the Israelites. That Jesus gave his body to be killed on a wooden cross, like the lambs that were killed in Egypt and the sin offerings by the Israelites. And his blood protected them from death. That what he has done for them, he has done for us, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that all need the redeeming love of Jesus Christ to set them free and bring them into the kingdom of God, that in that salvation they can celebrate and remember what God has done for them with such a wonderful heart of gratitude. From saved by the grace of God, what Jesus did, I could not do that, right? Saved by grace through faith, and this not of ourselves. It's a gift from God, not by works that I would do so that I could boast that somehow it was because I was good enough. No. For all have fallen short. And the wage of falling short is death. Eternal separation from God. But because of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, I do not have to be separated from God, but I have been united with. I am in a right standing with God because of the righteousness of Christ, not my own. There's the gospel, right? Communion is saying, that's what I believe. That's what I believe. So why are we doing this? You say, well, Pastor Andy, you just told us, so you can be done. And be careful on that one. So I thought, well, let me just keep this super simple, right? So it's just super simple, and it's going to sound familiar because I've somewhat already said these, but I want to just throw them out here. So why is it good for us to practice communion? And I like the word practice, right? Not like where you just keep messing it up or something. You got to keep doing to get it right. Like, pull it together, man. No. I like the word practice because it implies that we do it again and again and again and again and again, that we engage in this act of thankful remembrance, this act of worship. Say, well, why do we do that? And I think, well, one of the reasons we do it, if we're just straightforward on a very surface level, is that we are choosing to be obedient to Christ. If you recall, as I read earlier, I told you to keep the scripture in your head, right? So in 1 Corinthians, do this in remembrance of me. Do this. So that whenever you do this, right, do this. Actually do this. And so in the Christian church, we said, you know what? This is an institution that God has established and ordained, and he literally means that we should do this. And so as a church, we're going to do this. So we believe it's something that ought to be practiced within the church again and again. So we're going to do it to, one, to be obedient to Christ, because we live to love and serve the Lord. All right, the second one is this, and I love this. And the students are coming back because they're going to, for those who are saved, are going to share in communion with us today. And I know that phrase right there, I'd have to unpack that. I didn't think about what I said when I said those who are saved, right? So those who have professed a belief in Jesus Christ, they're going to participate in communion with us today if they so desire. And so they're coming back because we're going to do that shortly. And so one of the things that we're doing, so I'm glad they're here because this is perfect timing. Thank you so much for that, teachers. When we, one of the reasons why we do this is because when we do this together with folks who are newer to the faith or who are younger and growing up and they're learning what it is that we believe and why we do what we do, that we're passing on our faith to them. When you share communion as a family, parents, you're passing on that faith to your kids. Grandparents, when you celebrate communion as an act of thankful remembrance with your grandchildren, you are passing on your faith to them. Those who are single, when you celebrate communion with the church family, there are others alongside of you who do not have maybe the depth of understanding about the Christian faith that you have. And so as they watch you, they are learning, because through our actions, we also disciple each other. And so they're learning the what and the why. That what we do is part of our Christian faith. And we do that because we want to be obedient to Christ. And we also want to pass along. You know, Jesus said, Paul writes this at the end in 1 Corinthians 11. He talks about the bread and the wine. And then he goes, whenever you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. When you proclaim something, you declare what you believe, but you're also teaching. You're passing along for others to be able to hear that and to observe that. So for me, I look at communion and go, communion is, yes, an act of obedient worship, but it's also passing on our faith. It's an act that helps to disciple each other to grow as followers of Jesus, where we get time to affirm that we believe that this is right and it is good, because what Jesus did on the cross, it was right and it was good and it works. And we affirm that this is the right faith to hold on to. And we assure one another as we share together that it is good and true, that we are sufficiently forgiven through the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't have to have something else to grant me peace with God. That has secured that for me through my faith. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ are enough. Maybe communion is a powerful time to disciple each other, to consider maybe we should stop working so hard to please God and just love God. I think some of us want to work so hard to make God happy, we do acts, but it's not really acts of love for God. We just don't want to screw up. Like, I don't want God to be mad at me. And there's something to be said for that. He's a righteous God. But if you will love the Lord your God and just open your life and lay it before him as an offering, I really believe that is one of the most powerful things that anybody can do. Because at the heart of it, that's where it begins. Lay your life down before the Lord as your offering to a right and good God. Let him help you where you don't feel you are good enough. Let him grow your way of thinking into a healthier place to transform you through the renewing of your mind, as Romans tells us. We carry a lot of baggage around in life, don't we? We really do. Not just because my wife carries a lot of my stuff in her purse for me, but we carry a lot of emotional baggage in our lives that influences how we see ourselves and how we think about being good enough. Communion is a wonderful time to say, you know what? I will never be good enough for God in and of myself, but because of Jesus and Jesus alone, I am good enough to be accepted by God in heaven, who is my creator and my deliverer. And God, help me find peace in that. And I like this last one I want to just give you. It's just so simple. Man, we're just rehearsing for heaven. Say, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, today on World Communion Sunday, as I mentioned, there are Christians all over the world who are worshiping together and they're celebrating communion together. And some will, well, many will talk and they will dress, and their worship service will be different than ours. And that's amazing. And that's totally cool. Such creative diversity, but it's all orchestrated around celebrating God. And we're all coming, as we come to the table, to give thanks and remember what Christ has done in our stead. And I say we're rehearsing for heaven because the scripture teaches us that when we all, from our different walks of life, and it's all different, our skin color is different, and the way we talk, and some with that drawl, and some with the, that's enough of that, that no matter where we come from, it won't matter. Because the one that matters is Jesus, who reigns on the throne as Lord of heaven. And together, as Revelation chapter 4 sort of gives us this picture of, this symbolic picture of, all will be there not to glorify themselves, but to glorify the Lord. And to lift up the works and the truth and the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. That all will bow. It won't be about your ethnicity. It won't be about your gender. It won't be about your political preference. It won't be about whether you can run a half marathon or you can't. It won't be about your physical health. It won't be about your profession. None of that stuff will matter. And do you see that when we come to this table and we share together, that's part of what we're saying, that we are all level before the Lord Jesus Christ, that it doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus. And it is right and good that we have this cross in here to remind us of him, and that today we have these elements that not just teach us, but they disciple us, they grow us in our faith and in our character. They grow us as a family. And I'm so glad that we get to share together today. This is what communion really is, at its simplest sort of core, and kind of why we do this. Paul says that the Apostle Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians, he says that a person ought to examine himself to, if he's going to come to receive the elements to share with other believers in communion, that I ought to examine him or herself to make sure that they partake in this time for the right reasons, that they understand who Jesus is, what he's done, and why they're coming to do this. And so in one sense, I've done all this teaching and ask you today, is Jesus Christ your Savior? Do you accept his payment and his forgiveness for you? Because you need that. Because like the rest of us, you too have fallen short of the glory of God, the perfection of God. And the only one that makes you right with God is Jesus Christ. And if that is your faith today, then we welcome all to come and to celebrate the table. So we have these elements. I would ask our ushers who are going to come and help serve communion if they would come at this time. So as we go back into the story, on the night that Jesus was celebrating Passover with the disciples, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "Take and eat, for this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." And then when supper was ended, he took the cup, blessed it, and he said, "Take and drink. For this cup is a cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of many. Do this in remembrance of me. For when you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns." This is our faith. This is why we do this. Father, I ask that you will bless these elements today, that as we receive them, that your Spirit would work in us in this time to grow us in our faith, our love for you, our love for others. Continue to develop us, affirm us, assure us, unite us together to be this ever passionate, growing body of believers serving Christ till the day that he returns. Lord, we ask this blessing today by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.